Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your hosts William Lamb and Tyler Shores. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William and Tyler.
Hey, welcome back to Servcast. My name's Tyler, and I'm with my friend and your host, William. William, we've traveled. We've been gone.
Yeah, we're back. Honduras, and you can hear it in my voice. Came back from Honduras. It was a great trip this year. I think it was trip number 8 with students. And I look for a lot more of those opportunities. Man, I love taking students to places where they get to, as we often say around here, you know, look for the not so obvious and listen to what people can tell them.
Yeah, no, I've always heard really good stories from the students coming back from your Honduras trip. But, man, we're back at it. What's on the docket today?
We're going to talk about leadership in just a few minutes. We got our friend Fred Garmans here, and I'll introduce him in just a few minutes. But what's happening 2 weeks from now? I think I came back from the office, and there was something about some kind of basketball, something on my desk. What is this?
Well, you know, we're camaraderie in the office, right? So we're doing brackets and having a little bit of fun with March Madness. I always say it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm a big basketball fan and a big baseball fan, and March is when those two things coincide. So I'm a big Tar Heel fan. You may not have known it, but I'm from North Carolina.
I hear that often
go UNC. But they're usually good, so they're usually playing this time of the year. But I'm also a Reds fan, and this is usually the time of the year where the Reds are not out of it yet.
Yep.
So it's still hopeful about what's to come. So
yeah. But well, maybe one of your dreams will come true someday, huh?
Maybe one day, yeah. Maybe in a couple weeks.
That's true. So we're going to dig into this topic, leadership. So before we go to our friend Fred, you know, man, you're a sports buff, so maybe who's your all-time favorite life coach, leading kind of, you know, sports figure that really is a leader that, you know, that people think, man, this guy really cares about other people?
Yeah, well, the best frame of reference I have, honestly, is with Roy Williams, who's UNC coach. Love him or hate him, if you listen to the way he talks about his players and the way his players talk about him, you can tell the guy's really in the game to develop people and to not just win basketball games, which he does, by the way, mm-hmm. but also to develop young men. And I think what I see in that I like to see in others is a leader who's concerned about the well-being and even the futures of those who call themselves his followers or mm-hmm. her followers.
And those folks who listen to Servcast currently, you know, include students and marketplace leaders and, you know, church leaders and just all kind of types of folks. And so we're really excited about that, and we're excited about our topic. And my friend Fred Garman, not Fed, but Fred.
Fred.
Yeah, he's not associated with the Feds, I don't think. Well, maybe not. Yeah, we'll know in a minute. But my friend Fred Garman will be right back with us. And so we'll come back in just a minute, right?
That's right. Stick around. It's coming up. And we're back with Dr. Garman.
Fred, my friend Fred, welcome to Servcast, man. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, Doctor. It's good to be with you guys.
So now, for folks who don't know you, of course, I can't imagine anybody who doesn't know Fred Garman, or at least after these next few minutes, they will learn to like him like most of us have.
False rhetoric works really well.
That's funny, Fred. That's awesome. So you've been a pastor, you've been a founder, and you know, lead guy over a number of organizations, and now you have Leader Labs, and we'll talk about Leader Labs in just a little while. But tell us who the real Fred is and why your heart beats for people in need today.
Well, I first of all, I have to get involved in this sports gig that you guys are already into because, you know, Tyler understands and he has incredible spiritual discernment.
Unbelievable.
You know, in the ministry area, we would call it, he has anointing. because UNC is pretty close to heaven, University
Come
of
on
North
now.
Carolina. God made the sky Carolina blue. And so, you know, they're in the March Madness. Yes,
you may never
are.
Hear this episode that we're trying to work through today, folks, but in case you do, man, you're lucky. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, when you talk about leadership and you ask about coaches, you know, you have to go back, I think, to the legendary UCLA, John Wooden, mm-hmm. of course, and one of the greatest team builders, I think, in the history of basketball. But today, Calipari with Kentucky. because after North Carolina, then Kentucky pretty much owns the basketball world, and my wife and entire family's Kentucky fan, so I'm having to say that.
It's a marriage builder,
survival.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes. build a marriage seminar around that. But then Dean Smith, and of course I'm all over it with Tyler with Roy Williams, just incredible. And I think that why I would say all of those is because their leadership is exemplary in terms of people-centered leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They want results, which is very important in leadership, but they also understand that it's about developing people. And I think that they keep the latter first, which is really good with servant leadership, which you're the expert on and has done a great job here at the Leonard Center, you know, holding that characteristic of leadership high. But people-centered leadership is really, I think, where it's at today. It's in vogue, if you will, and rightly so, that balances out results or productivity with the principle of caring for people. Yeah, I think that's a good lead-in to this topic of leadership and not being so concerned with results that we forget who it is that we're working with, and that's people, caring about the people that are around us.
Mm-hmm. You know, and man, when you look around the world today, we got a lot of chaos, and some would say it's a leadership vacuum. Some would say, you know, it's a lack of leadership. How do you speak to that? What can we do as leaders to focus in? And, you know, you talked about discernment a while ago, kind of in a jovial way. But in reality, what are ways that we can really focus in a world of chaos and train ourselves to become leaders who can actually identify problems or situations so that we might be able to address those appropriately while also taking care of the people in the midst of the journey?
Interesting question. Max Dupree, in his book about leadership jazz, he quotes a phrase from Napoleon, actually, when he says, the first responsibility of leadership is to define reality. And the first time I saw that, I said, wow, isn't that great? Napoleon added to that, and then to give them hope. And I think that both of these leaders really hit the target. And when you begin talking about leadership in the 21st century, I truly believe there is a crisis of leadership. Almost everywhere you look around us, both experience and the literature on leadership tells us that there is a crisis of leadership. Now, we're in no loss for people in positional authority, for sure. But when it comes to leaders that are leaders of character and competence, and that can really cast a forward-looking vision that's going to be productive for our world and for our organizations and for the people that are in those organizations, there is a true crisis of leadership today. And what we can do about it, well, I think, first of all, we can do these things like we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing with this podcast is exemplary, and it's important because I think too often we look at leadership in terms of world-changing leadership, and therefore, if we can't fly around the planet on some satellite, you know, beaming down unbelievable, extraordinary gifts to people and changing the world in that way, then we don't see ourselves as leaders. But I think leaders make a difference where they are in their sphere of influence, and we peck away at it little by little, and we can see that that really does make a difference. You know, Jesus Christ put it this way when he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Mm-hmm.
We often look at that as a negative concept, but I think that's a positive concept too when we understand that leadership literature tells us that 2% of a culture can change a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I see leadership as something like what you're doing right now with the podcast. I see leadership today and what we can do in a positive way to address this crisis is what Leonard Center does here on the campus of Lee University, in a broader sense, what Lee University is doing. We're developing leaders on this campus, and I think doing a great job. It's an outcome that we see as the people that we turn out, the product that we turn out. And too often in organizations today, I call them oinos.
Mm-hmm.
It's an outcome in need of overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm proud to say that I think here at Lee University and in the Leonard Center and what we're doing, we're producing some products that are people-centered, that do mm-hmm. care, and that are going to address that address that change. Mm-hmm. But it's leadership development that's going to change that. And I think we're in a place now and in a season where leadership is becoming not just a soft skill, but it's actually becoming more quantifiable. Some of the things that's happening right now in the areas of sociology and psychology and neuroscience and so on, a multidisciplinary approach to this thing that we call leadership is bringing it into a more measurable type of format. And, you know, Goleman and some of these others, John Goleman and all of them, have done some incredible research. Kuzes and Posner now have done some quantifiable research that leads us down a trail where we can really say, hey, these are the behaviors that leaders need to be espousing if they're to make a difference in the lives of people and to model the way for people. So I do believe that there's hope. I believe that we can address the crises of leadership with the new generation. With all that we say about millennials that's negative, mm-hmm. I really do think that there's a lot of hope because of the millennials, because they do bring some incredible characteristics to the table, and I'm hopeful for that.
Mm-hmm. I was in a meeting recently with you, and you gave a quote from Harvard Business Review. You know, you talked about how that it's even in the marketplace, you know, it's so important that servant-mindedness, a real genuine, and we call it lead like Jesus, basically. I mean, you know, Greenleaf is the kind of the father of this movement, but actually, you know, long before Greenleaf was Jesus, you know, who posited these principles. And so, you know, what do you think is does this stuff work both in the church and in the marketplace, you know, or is leadership, you know, designed just for one particular area? Is it compartmentalized, or are there principles that can, you know, be fluid and work valuable in all aspects of life?
No, I think it's both. It's not an either or, it's both. And everything that I do in this season of my life in terms of teaching leadership and addressing this crisis of leadership has to do with the marketplace and the ministry. Now, I do come at it from a faith-based approach and take really John Wesley's approach to things, where he said we plundered the Egyptians, taking a verse out of the Old Testament in Exodus. And John Wesley believed that we are to take all intellectual data, sift it through or pull it through the filter of Scripture and God's Word, and make it applicable so that we're the best ministers or the best Christians that mm-hmm. we can possibly be. Even though Wesley was called the man of one book, he chastised his disciples if they ever said that all he read or learned from was the Bible. He said, no, the Bible is unsurmountable when it comes to being the guide of life and faith, but we are to pull all these other disciplines and all these other things that benefit general revelation, if you will, through the matrix of Scripture. So in that regard, I believe in plundering the Egyptians and pulling from intellectual data to address all of these areas, and that's valuable both in the ministry and in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And the predominant, now I work with Rotary Clubs, with Chamber of Commerce, with educational systems in the country. I've worked with foreign governments. I've taught leadership in 42 countries. And so when I'm in the other countries, a lot of times it's with government agencies. Mm-hmm. But still address it and bring in Scripture with it mm-hmm. to help, you know, undergird the concepts and the ideas that I'm bringing to these people. So it is, we can address this crisis. It is important that we address it in the marketplace and the ministry, because not everybody's a minister. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard for some of the audience to believe, but not everybody's a preacher.
Right.
The predominant group out there are lay men and women mm-hmm. Who may never be behind a pulpit or be a youth director or a youth pastor or a staff member of a church, but they're lay volunteers of some community of faith. Mm-hmm. And as John Calvin would say way back in the Reformation, you know, and Martin Luther, sometimes it's a magistrate or somebody that's just a lay person working out in the world. That's the most important pulpit that we can have. So to address this crisis, we need to address it from the ministry and the marketplace point of view. And I have a hard time trying to figure out which one of those is the most desperate. Mm-hmm. For myself, I spend a lot more time dealing with pastors and ministers that are ordained or that are full-time in the ministry. And believe it or not, the very first thing that we start with in any capacity when it comes to leadership development and addressing this crisis, this problem that we have in leadership today, is integrity of heart. That has to do with just character development. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people say, well, what's most important, character or competence? And I say, yes.
Yeah.
You know, do you want a leader that you can trust, or do you want a leader that knows what they're doing? And it's a toss-up, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's even though Dwight D. Eisenhower said that unquestionably integrity is the most important characteristic, but I'd say following real close to that is competence, because you want somebody that knows what they're doing. And leadership today, as you well know, you're a student of leadership. It addresses both character and competence.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a concern for us too often, Fred, is that a lot of people, you know, might say, well, I'm not really a leader. You know, I don't have the natural born gift. I'm not. There's a theory out here called the great man theory. You and I studied it in our PhD programs. You know, we know it well. And so the question I think I pitch to you now is, you know, for those persons who might want to lead but yet have never really been exposed to leadership development opportunities, and they might not think, you know, man, I don't have the gifts that I see these charisma built in these other folks. You know, is leadership called or taught? Or speak to that for just a minute, this whole idea that, you know, maybe it can be developed and maybe you can learn to be effective as a leader.
That's great. You know, going back to the great man theory and some of these other concepts and theories of leadership, it boils down to this: the great age old question is, are leaders born or are leaders made? Mm-hmm. And I say, well, all leaders are born. Let's hope.
They're all born.
I've met a few that I thought was hatched, but all leaders are born. And then, as Peter Senge, one of the great thought leaders of leadership, said, then made.
Yep.
I'm a great believer that leadership can be taught and that leaders can be made. Are all people born with gifts? Yeah, there's natural endowments. It goes back to that same old question, nurture or nature. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that naturally we have these natural endowments, these gifts, but there's nature that takes, that there's this endowment that comes about, that where leadership development can happen and that we can hone it. We can sharpen the saw. We can make people better. We can teach certain leadership traits and competencies so that people can become better better leaders. I like what G. Campbell Morgan said, a preacher of old age, when he talked in the spiritual idea of this. He said, we are all have planted within us a seed of potential at the new birth. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm kind of a Christian humanist, having worked with governments and worked in Cambodia and Southeast Asia and humanitarian works for the last 11 years, in that I believe that all people have some potential in them, have mm-hmm. great potential in them. Mm-hmm. But according to the scripture, if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's evidently a seed of potential planted in a Christian at the new birth that's what I call potential on steroids. And so we have this unbelievable opportunity to help people. I believe that's what we do at Lee University. I believe it's what you're doing right now, or you wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Right.
So leadership can be taught. Leadership can be learned. Everyone can be a leader. Mm-hmm. And that's primarily because leadership is not just about positional authority. Mm-hmm. It's not just about status. That's the old myth that we bought into in the industrial age. Mm-hmm. We're now in the information age, and we've learned some things. And the greater leadership is what we call life role leadership. Mm-hmm. It's people who mentor us, people who disciple us, people who care about us, who pour into us. And these kind of people that have life role leadership, life role authority, can change a person's life in an instant, in a moment, with one conversation and one statement. Mm-hmm. You know it, I know it, we've seen it happen. And it's that kind of leadership that this world's in need of, not just positional. Now, we will always have positional authority. To some degree, it will be top down. But we're entering a phase now where networked authority and collaborative efforts are coming into play here. And we need to come back to the place to where every person sees themselves as a leader. In fact, it was Dr. Bruce Winston at Regent University who made this statement, and it really helped to change a lot of my life. He said, you're preparing for an eventuality that you don't know is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what leadership development does. Mm-hmm. It helps people to begin to prepare and to develop. And here's the key. All leadership development begins with self-development. Mm-hmm. It starts with me. We approach this thing sometimes thinking about the other. And that's the end result, that the other. We're going to help people. Mm-hmm. But you can't help people until you help yourself. And leadership development begins with self-development. Self-development begins with self-awareness. Self-awareness will lead you to self-management, and self-management will lead you to character and competence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are the important kind of, I guess, the goals that I put forward for people to say, hey, you can become better, you can develop. And it's about lifelong learning. It's about learning that it's about understanding that learning is fun. Mm-hmm. And that if I'm going to be the person God wants me to be, if I'm going to reach my fullest potential, then I have to be a lifelong learner, and I have to be willing to create learning organizations, to pass this on to other people, and to say, hey, maybe the reason why you don't like reading and the reason why you don't like learning is you've never been exposed to anything you love, which gets people back in terms of leadership. Sometimes I think we just don't fit where we are. Mm-hmm. You have to ask people, what's your passion? What's your strength? Do you know what your strength is? What's your passion? What gets you out of bed in the mornings? Mm-hmm. And when you begin to understand those personal values, and you begin to align your personal values with those gifts that are in your life, then everything begins to change. Leadership is something that I'm passionate about, you're passionate about, and it will change the world. Mm-hmm.
Three phrases that I learned early on about leadership in my studies, you know, is leadership is influence, leadership is relational, you know, and leadership's a process. It takes time, you know. So how do we as potential leaders, how do we manage this development process so that we don't jump ship too early because we might be frustrated that we haven't, you know, arrived to a positional place as quickly as we had desired, or maybe we didn't deliver at the level of leadership expectancy that we had hoped to deliver? How do we stay engaged in the journey when it's not going our way, but we realize that we still need to continue to be developed?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head in that development. Personal development is a process. It's a process, not an event. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take place in a moment. And I think, too, that in times past, we've seen leadership and as something that is almost magical, that we thought we could go to a seminar or a conference or read one book, mm-hmm. And then that's going to be the magic bullet. But there is no such thing. And so leadership development, as you said, is a process. It's something that, you know, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you hear today in the leadership literature about management and leadership that this is a lifelong learning process. You know, all knowledge today has a shelf life. Mm. And, you know, even Microsoft says that any product that they have is only about 18 months out. I mean, you remember back when we were in college or when we were growing up, you know, the end of the industrial age, right before the information age, people used to do strategic planning for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. You say that to a millennial today, which is about 47% of the population in leadership today are millennials. You say that to them, they laugh at you because they know that they can't hardly plan 12 to 24 months out. And so when you look at that in terms of organizational leadership, you bring that back to the personal level and you say, well, you know, what's this all about? When you say, I have to have some goals. Leadership development's about goals. And if it begins with self-development, then you have to set some real tangible and measurable goals for yourself, or you're never going to achieve. What's the target that you're trying to hit? And so I believe that target in terms of really developing leaders has to do with core values, mm-hmm. and that every person needs to ask themselves some very personal questions. And one of them is, what do I value? And I think a good way to answer that, because we often deceive ourselves, what we first listen, one of the exercises I give people, I say, write down your top five core values. And once they write them down, I say, now you probably ought to scratch all those out because those aren't your top five mm-hmm. values. Mm-hmm. That's what you would like to have as top five values, or that's what you think you are. That's your identity. That's the story you're telling yourself. But, hey, let me introduce you to the rest of us know. And I say, now, here's how I want you to do that. If you want to really understand what your top core values are, show me your checkbook. Mm. because Jesus put it this way. You know, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so where you spend your money will tell you a lot about what your top five values are. And then I ask them, take the next 2 weeks and keep a time log. Peter Drucker, the father of modern management and one of the greatest thought leaders in terms of management, said it this way, keep a time log for 2 weeks, and that will tell you the truth about what you value, what your values are, because a lot of people are using their discretionary time and even some of their valuable target time in some indiscretionary ways. They're wasting a lot of time. Because that's the one thing that we all have the exact same amount of 24 hours a day.
It's time.
And we look at so many people and we say, man, how in the world do they achieve so much? How do they do that? How do they go to school? How did they get that PhD? Because they learn to manage self and they learn to manage time. Mm-hmm. And they put in alignment their core personal core values with the target, with the goals. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that, you have to set some very tangible goals, and you have to go with that over the next 12 to 18 months, and then take another look at it and set some more 12 to 18 months goals, and then click those things off every day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like learning to run a half marathon. You know, you don't get up this morning and learn to do that. You're a marathoner, 26 mm-hmm. miles. That takes 6 months to train for. Mm-hmm. And you have to have this week's goals and then next week's goals, and you continually build on that. And one day you wake up 6 months down the road, and you're a lot lighter, you feel a lot better, and you're able to run 26 miles. Mm-hmm. That's the same way with becoming the leader that God has for you. It's going to be a lifelong journey, and it's writing your story, but it's also learning to live a life that's in alignment with who you are, your passions, your strengths, your gifts, the person that God has, the authentic you, right, the person that God's called you to.
Wow. And I hope Tyler caught this, because you and I are marathon runners and we're twice his age. So it's time for him to catch up on a little run on the street himself.
Yeah, well, a Carolina guy can do that.
That's know? True.
They
That's
just
true.
Got they just got to get motivated.
Fred, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and I'm going to give you a chance to talk about Leader Labs and tell us what you're doing out there, and then that'll be the end of this segment today. But man, I'm so glad that you joined us today. We'll be right back.
It's good to be with you.
Fred, man, it's like leadership on steroids just a moment ago, man. I really appreciate you coming into Studio 22. We call that Studio 22 where you're at today in ServeCast, and I appreciate your time. But I understand you direct this thing called Leader Labs, that's correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
So give us a couple of minutes for those who might be listening who want to aspire to become leaders themselves. What are some ways that they can plug in through this organization called Leader Labs?
Well, Leader Labs is a nonprofit organization that I started actually 15 years ago while pastoring in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and completing my PhD in organizational leadership. While going through the doctorate program there in organizational leadership, I continually, and it was in the backdrop of 30 years of ministry as a pastor, and I kept coming upon concepts in my learning that I had never heard before. If I had heard them, I was learning them in a different way. Things that would have helped me through those 30 years of ministry and life. And I kept leaning back in my chair saying, where has this stuff been? And I would like to think that it was really a calling and an inspired moment that I decided way back then, 15, 16 years ago, to create 10 things, 10 ideas, concepts that helped me. That I wish someone had taught me, 30 years ago, that I didn't get in my undergraduate work, that I didn't get my Master of Divinity work, but that really helped me when the rubber meets the road. And so I designed what I call the Leader Labs concept, and then this particular program of 10 essential skills of executive leadership. And so those 10 things I have developed over the past 15 years in domestic leadership here in the United States, and then the last 11 years in Southeast Asia, superintendent of Southeast Asia in 6 countries, and being the executive director of People for Care and Learning and working in Cambodia. So I've tried to pull those through the filter of actual experience. That's a novel idea, isn't it, that a theory would be practical. But Kurt Lewin told us that nothing is so practical as a good theory. And so I've taken doctoral, PhD, work. And I've kind of pulled it through a filter to make it something that everybody in the marketplace and the ministry can use. I've created a program that requires 8 full days of training. And what's happening right now, you know, the delivery system is different, but most people are doing 2 days a month for 4 months. I've got 3 of those programs going right here in Cleveland, Tennessee now. Georgia, Puerto Rico are coming up in the fall. New York City's coming up in the spring. And so it's really exceeding my expectations in terms of the niche that I believe that it is meeting here in the United States. And I believe it's going to be something around the world. But again, it's a process. It's not a Monday morning 9 to 12
right.
kind of a thing. But I liken it into putting a fire hose in your mouth, turning on the knowledge water faucet, mm-hmm. and saying, here it is. And preparing people for or giving them resources and a toolbox that they can address in items that most of the time they would never get in a regular type of a training event. So Leader Labs, they can go to leaderlabs.com and they can find out more about that. They can contact me at fred@leaderlabs.com and find out more about when a lab's going, or they can bring the labs to their region, talk to me about that. And or they can get at Vimeo On Demand. I've got 25 30-minute videos to where they can actually watch every one of the videos and get the content online. So there are a lot of deliverables, but something I'm passionate about. I hope to spend the next 10 to 50 years.
50 or 15?
50, brother. I've got a great vision.
What's the next color of your hair after gray? What happens after that?
It falls out.
It falls out.
Yeah, it falls out. But they say it can turn loose or it can turn gray. Right now, mine's turned gray. But that's what you call ministry, brother. That's what you call ministry.
Tyler said skin tone. I don't know if you heard that or not.
Oh, skin tone. Yeah. That works.
That's that UNC language.
That's another way of saying it.
Yeah.
He's keeping it real.
Yeah, good deal. So the next round of this comes up when can people? How soon could somebody join Leader Labs?
They can go to the website, leaderlabs.com, and they can enroll in the next open enrolled lab is going to be in the fall, starting in September.
2017.
This year, 2017, September, October, November, December. There'll be 2 days a month, and they come into Cleveland, and it's that one, it's got limited space, but the program's normally $3,000 per person, all inclusive. They get an executive leadership certificate for coming through. They can get 6 hours tuition free credit at a local seminary here in town. Mm-hmm. So it's really going well. But with this particular program, they can get 50% off.
Okay.
I've got scholarships for 50% off for a limited group that's coming through. So it's a great opportunity, and that will fill. They're filling up fast. So people that are interested, they need to get in touch and
good deal.
Pay their deposit and jump on board.
Man, Fred, I know you're busy. Thanks for coming around Studio 22 to us today. And I keep telling you, Tyler, we're going to get Matt Ryerson back in here to talk about marathon running. So we need to add Fred to that list when we come back because, he's older than I am. I guess you're older than I am. Yeah, my hair's not gray yet. And yours is falling out, Fred. So
I refuse to comment on that.
There you go. So, Fred, seriously, thanks for joining us today, man. It's always a joy to be around you. I really appreciate your friendship. And I tell folks who are listening, you want to check this out because Fred's the real deal, as we say often when we have guests in this room. It's so exciting to get people that you know are doing what they say they're doing, and they're doing it well.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be right back, and William's going to close it out.
Thank you.
We're back with ServCast. Great content from Dr. Garman. I kept thinking about you. You've heard that Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. Like, that song was playing in my head the whole time.
Yeah.
But anyways.
He's an interesting guy, man.
Yeah.
And he's the real guy, Tyler. That's the cool thing about it. Well, he's the real guy.
He's doing some exciting work. But as we do here, why don't you close this thing out with a challenge?
Yeah, I am a student of leadership. And I'd like to consider myself a coach of leadership, and I try to teach these principles to students and people that I come in contact with on a daily basis. You've heard me say this if you've heard ServCast before, and you'll hear me say it if you ever listen to us again, you're made for more. Years ago, we started a club here on this campus, and I think we've had an interview with some students from it before, called The Backyard. And It's a tutoring program that just kind of goes into the community and makes relational impact in areas where otherwise people might lack. And one of the things that we dealt with many years ago when we launched this program was we had a wonderful theory and a wonderful idea, and we were trying to get legs to it and trying to figure it out. And eventually my, kind of visionary partner, Gary Riggins, and I were sitting at lunch one day in the cafeteria here on the Lee campus, and you know, he looked at me and he said, "William," he said, "really, in order to do this, we just need to start." So maybe you're listening to this episode today and you're wondering, man, can I be a leader? Can I make influence in people's lives? Can I make a difference in somebody's life? You know, what do I do? Well, actually, just start. Begin now to look toward a better future so that you can make the necessary investments in people's lives to make a difference. Hey, as always, we'd like you to come to Lee University and study with us. Check out leaderlabs.com. Make an impact around you where you are. Don't wait till tomorrow. It begins now. Until next time, thank you for joining us here at Surfcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Surfcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Surfcast are those of William Lamb, Tyler Shores, their guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Surfcast, signing off from Studio 22.